Com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour. Last Saturday, we had our first ever Portland Normal meeting, and at that meeting, I was able to deliver our core principles to the assembled 50 or so
people
in the room.
Thank you very much. Glad to have you here, and we'll run through this to just give you an overview of what Portland Normal is about and what we're going to be fighting for with the Liquor Control Commission and with the legislature as far as how Measure 91 should be implemented. First of all, this is our mission statement. Portland Normal is dedicated to ensuring that responsible legal adult marijuana consumers are provided the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as adult alcohol consumers. That's the freedom angle to me. I don't understand why somebody can have as much beer as they want at their home and brew as much, up to 100 gallons of beer, but marijuana, we got to treat it like plutonium. So we understand that legalization begins in small steps, and we're going to be okay with 1 ounce and, you know, 4 plants at home and 8 ounces at home. That's going to be okay for a first step, but by no means is that equalization. By no means is that the same rights and treating like alcohol that we were promised. So we are working for equalization, and what's important about having Portland Normals, because all the other players have a loud voice in this movement. The growers, they've got 2 or 3 packs going on. The retailers, dispensary owners, they got plenty of money and lobbyists to throw at this. The regulators, they got a certain idea how it should be. Law enforcement, the cops, they want it certain bright lines and restrictions. Who's going to talk for us, the cannabis consumers? The people who might want to grow a plant at home or maybe 4, but, you know, we're not in it for business. We're not in it for money. We just want our rights. We just want our freedom. That's what we're about with Portland Normal. And why a Portland Normal, a very focused city chapter, is because I believe Portland has a special voice in this compared to the rest of the state. We don't have the same concerns as rural Eastern Oregon or the fears they might have. We don't have the same concerns as Southern Oregon might have, or a college town like Eugene, for that matter. We're a very large urban metroplex area that's going to get the focus of national attention. You know, when the news cameras come to talk about what's happening in Oregon, they're not going to be flying to Burns. You can't fly to Burns, can you? Can you? Okay. They're going to come to Portland. And so we feel it was necessary to form a Portland Normal to speak for Portlanders, because a large population means unique issues. We've got city issues we have to deal with that other places don't have to deal with. And we've got the largest measure of support for legalization of any place in the state. Flip to that next slide. This is a precinct by precinct look at the voting totals for Measure 91. This area here was 89.9%. That's the southeastern side, you know, MLK, Grant, that kind of area, right? 90% in the central core, and kind of like a bullseye radiating out from that 90%. Most of urban Portland is high 80s. Across the river, it's in the high 70s. You get past the 42nd area there, and you're in the 70s. You cross over 205, you're into the 60s and 50s. So that's how the support breaks down in Portland, and why we thought it was important to have a voice for these people who overwhelmingly support legalization. Hit it. So here are our core principles. There are 10 of them. You can think of these as the 10 commandments of Portland Normal. And number one is maintaining the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program registry card system and its privileges. You agree with that? Yeah. Why? Because we learned a lesson. We learned that Colorado showed that, hey, if you got a well-regulated medical program, you can have a recreational program too, and they can run alongside each other. There's no problem. The problems are in Washington, where medical marijuana isn't very well regulated. But in Colorado, they seem to be doing pretty well with that regulation. And besides, Measure 91 said 3 times they're not going to change OMMP. If you promise me something 3 times, you ought to stick to it. Next one. We believe in medical marijuana dispensaries' right to choose retail licensing, not forced to. You don't have to. You want to be a dispensary and stay a dispensary, that's cool. But as consumers, and this was brought up at the OLCC listening session, I live on Sandy Boulevard. If I drive toward the river, there's about 5 dispensaries that way. If I drive away from the river, there's about 3 dispensaries that way. Where's the pot shop supposed to locate? if they're all supposed to be 1,000 feet away from each other? So all these dispensaries already have a jump on the best locations. I don't think we as consumers, as adult consumers, should have to be forced out into a red light industrial district somewhere. But again, we shouldn't force the medical people to have to change. So let's give them the opportunity to change. Some of them will. Some of them will want to offer those things, and we can go with that. Or they can be both. That's right. That's what I'm saying. Not forced to. Choose to if they wish to. All right, let's get the next one. Measure 91 affirmed that the people have the sole right to ban marijuana commerce, not a city council, not a county commission. They want that. League of Oregon Cities, Associated Oregon Counties, they're both fighting for that power to have like a 5-0 vote of a bunch of people that don't know anything about weed to ban it. We have learned from Washington and Colorado that if you let them do that, you get this. It's legal, some places it's not. And that involves a lot of cross traffic, people from a non-legal place driving over to shop at a legal place, and this place not having the same level as that level, and so forth. We don't want those headaches. Those headaches help embolden the black market. They help enrich the black market. They help to prevent what we're trying to do with legalization, and that is to bring this all above ground. Now, if a city or county does want to ban marijuana commerce, we give them that right because we copied it from the alcohol rules. Multnomah County could hold a vote if they wanted to and ban alcohol. They're not going to, but they could. So we copied that direct. Measure 91 got that right from the alcohol rules. And so, you know, if someone in Eastern Oregon wants to put a petition together and get it on the ballot and a majority of the people say they don't want pot shops, fine. But let's not leave it up to 3 commissioners or 5 councilmen to do that. And going along that same line is the affirmation of the state's sole right of taxation. Again, copied from the alcohol laws. There's not a Multnomah County beer tax and a Salem, Oregon liquor tax. There's just state of Oregon alcohol taxes, which are ridiculously low, by the way. They haven't been raised in years, but that's a whole other talk. Colorado and Washington show this, that if you have local taxation, and these cities or these localities add extra percentage points, it just boosts the price of the weed, and that leads to more people shopping in the black market. In Washington state, they actually have the problem of people dealers hanging out in the parking lots to undercut the dispensary price that's taxed 25% 3 times. We want to keep that tax low. Measure 91 matches our alcohol taxation laws, and it supersedes and repeals all inconsistent charters and ordinances. So these guys that pass their tax, like Portland, they say they want a 10% tax. Well, that is repealed. We just repealed that as the people. They're fighting to get that stuff grandfathered in. And I don't think I should have to drive to somewhere cheaper. And all this does is incentivize people to either cheat or go back to the black market. Establishment of adult personal use venues, vapor lounges, coffee shops. The lesson that we've learned from Washington and Colorado, Washington has shown us that if you don't give people a place to toke, they find a place to toke. The park, the bus stop, wherever it might be. The public citations have gone way up in Seattle, and just like arrests used to be, they're disproportionately against African-American and poor people. So what good is that? Let's give people a place to toke and let them take advantage of that. And Colorado has shown us that if you don't give people a place to toke, they decide they're gonna use a cookie instead. Or a brownie, and they don't have a lot of experience with that. Maybe the last time they smoked a joint was Woodstock era, and now you're giving them a 100 milligram cookie? Forget about it. You're going to get Maureen Dowd. We don't want those kind of stories coming out of Oregon. So let's set ourselves up. Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes is already lobbying the city council to get some sort of vapor lounge ordinance going. And again, if we're going to treat this like alcohol, give us our pub. We deserve a pub. Rejection of junk science DUID standards. Now, thank you, Anthony, for not putting any sort of per se limit in Measure 91. As we've seen from Washington and Oregon, Washington and Colorado, all this does is it penalizes marijuana consumers who are more likely to not be impaired. It's really funny. Like a newbie who smokes a puff is probably too stoned to drive, and he might only be at 4 nanograms. But a guy like me who smokes every day, I've developed a tolerance. I might drive just fine at 15. I might wake up at 10. So there is no magic number limit like there is for alcohol. Marijuana ain't alcohol. So we're going to reject any attempts to put any sort of unscientific standard number to bust us with. Now, you can show us science that is equivalent to DUI that shows, yes, if this number is hit, you're absolutely impaired. We'll talk about science, but you're not going to just kind of come some magic number that the cops like that unfairly punishes us. Oh, and by the way, the OLCC chair, when I was at that meeting that I showed you earlier, the listening session, when he talked about the DUI standards, he said, well, by the way, Oregon already has standards against driving under the influence of drugs. And as a DA, I can assure you that we're prosecuting plenty of people for that now. So if Rob Patridge thinks it's okay, I think we can keep the law that we've got. Marijuana consumers' right to work. This is where we're starting into the equalization part. Now, Measure 91 says that employers don't have to change their drug-free workplace laws. Okay, but we're coming after that. We're coming after this idea that you can judge our fitness for employment by the content of our urine. That's the reason I'm here. I didn't buy these suits and ties because I enjoy the hot dress. It's because I worked in the corporate world and I got booted over a drug test. So I will, to my dying breath, be fighting for this, our right to work. And we found from Colorado and Washington that there people are getting fired still, and they think, wait a minute, it's legal. Doesn't mean you can't be fired. We've got to fight that. And again, treat us like alcohol. Nobody'd be fired or not hired if they drank a beer a week ago on the weekend, right? But that can happen with a marijuana consumer. And then fighting for our equal rights. Legal consumers in Colorado and Washington can still be subject to losing their child custody or their parental visitation rights. They can still be dropped from Oregon transplant lists. They can still be denied Second Amendment rights. We shouldn't have to choose between our right to use marijuana or cannabis or however you choose to call it and our other fundamental rights. We should have all of our rights, and we're going to fight for that. And the final thing, the release of nonviolent marijuana prisoners. We still have growers and sellers and users and dealers all sitting in jail in Washington and Colorado. Now, Measure 91 doesn't do that. It doesn't have anything about the POWs, and that's understandable. You've got to bite one chunk at a time, right? But this is our next thing. This is what we're going after. Even if it takes an initiative to do this, we're going to get our POWs free. All right. One more. Oh, expanded cultivation rules. Oh, there was one more. Okay, so Measure 91 gives us 4 plants per household. Now, back in my college days, maybe Herb, you can confirm, I used to live in a place with 5 other guys, right? To think that the 6 of us would be growing 4 plants, that's a little low. But again, we wanted to start and get something. So we got 4 plants, but I really think we can lobby for increasing that to 6. The other states have it. Colorado, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. all allow people to cultivate 6 plants. And in Washington, D.C., they have an upper bound of 12 plants per household. 6 plants per person, 12 plants per household. I don't think that's unreasonable. And since Measure 91 gives the landlords and the ability to restrict our growing in certain places, that's correct, isn't it? The landlords can restrict our right to grow. In that case, I think there ought to be a provision where we can rent a space. We ought to be able to rent our own personal grow space for 4 plants. Can you imagine like one of those use store it places with the slide up things and just lights, lights, lights in each one of those, and people doing their personal grows? That's something I'd like to see. All right, so that's what Portland Normal is about. That's what our mission is and what we'll be fighting for, how you can help. We have 2 levels of membership. If you want to be a basic member, it's absolutely free. Absolutely free. We want everyone who can join, and not going to restrict that based on your economy. I've been poor many times. So if you can volunteer and help us, basic membership's free. All we want is your name, email, and or text message number. And Coleco's got the sign-up sheets for that. And just promise that you're going to respond to at least 1 alert a year. We'll send them out weekly. Now, we're not going to bombard you with spam like every day, but at least once a week, we'll have something like, call the Liquor Control Commissioner, call Representative Blumenauer, sign this petition online, whatever it might be. Just do 1 of those a year. You're a basic member. But if you'd like to help out in an active way, we have an active membership at $35 a year. That comes with an exclusive handmade apparel numbered membership pin, which would have been here today, except for Chinese New Year. China's like closed down the last 2 weeks of February. You can't get anything out of the factory. So next membership meeting, if anyone signs up today, we'll have those pins for you at the next membership meeting. The only way you can get them is by being an active member. You also get voting rights in our elections that are held every June. Our meetings are the 4th Saturday of our month. The June meeting will be elections for board members. You can nominate and you can vote on the board members in those elections, and you'll get your own plastic membership card. I had my Minnesota one, but I can't find it, but we can show you an example of that a little bit later. So that's my presentation on what Portland Normal is all about. Thank you, and let's turn things back over to Herb.
All right, so that's the Portland Normal General Membership meeting. We're going to be meeting again on March 28th at the same location, 1125 Southeast Madison, the Tony Starlight Room, and have yet to determine who our special guests will be, but we'll have more updates on what's happening at the Oregon Legislature. Our pins should be in by then, and yes, our pins are from China. That's where Handmade Apparel gets them made. All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Pot is not porn, plutonium, or PCP. It's time we stop treating it like it is. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.